Amen. 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 Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your goodness, and just glad we can come together here and praise and worship you. And Lord, we just want to honor you in all things and pray a special blessing on so many kids going back to school and off to college. And I pray a protection over them, Lord. You meet with them, just raise them up in a special way. And so, Lord, again, thank you for this morning. I pray you'd have each heart to open to your word, be encouraged by what you have to say about who we are. And God, I do pray you would just anoint me. I just speak from this Holy Spirit, and it would just touch people's heart as it's intended to do, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Look at the title, The Great Shepherd. The Great Shepherd. Let's look here. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 through 21. Hebrews says this: Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. I'm going to condense this just a little bit. I just highlight a couple of things in it. I'm going to reread it. We can focus in. It says, may God, who brought back from the dead Jesus, that great shepherd, equip you and work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus. So it's really cram-packed, a lot of stuff in this. It is a great closing to the book of Hebrews. This is a closing to the book of Hebrews. And it's like a great doxology. It'd be a Christian doxology of all Christianity, of the Bible, and the book of Hebrews. So it has that kind of praise in it, covering all of who God is and what God wants to say. So he put it all in this closing. It really is fascinating as we look at it and see how God is bringing to close this section of scripture that is so packed full of powerful information. And so, and it really does summarize the complete, when you read this, based on, it really does summarize the complete work of God and his purpose for those who trust him. Here it is. It's right. You know, it says, this is all you need. You know, and we spent 13 chapters, but what he did, he packed right in here, the complete work of God. So in these verses, the complete work of God, a summary of it, and his purpose for those who trust him. So there's a lot here. His purpose for us is right here in these scriptures. Now, it's stated here, this closing of Hebrews is through Jesus and the shedding of his blood that we now have an eternal covenant with God. So the depth of it, just closing an eternal covenant with God. And then it says through here, we have a better covenant, which Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep, the mediator. Now, just all that stating, when we go through and we look at what Hebrews said, these are to Jewish believers, and so it's bringing up what the Old Testament said. Okay, the Old Testament said this, and Jesus is giving, where God's giving us an insight here. Now, one of the things in the Old Testament had, it starts all the way through it, and you can say with Abraham, but even before that, it shows a covenant of God with his people. It's a covenant of God. Moving into earth, the covenant of God. And so that's what we have in the Old Testament. States it over and over again. And in the New Testament, it refers back to it. Okay? What it's saying here is that's right. That was preparatory. That's beautiful. It shows the work of God. He goes, but now we have a greater covenant. Okay? And it tells us in Hebrews, the old covenant is gone and the new covenant is here. So the whole thing is built to this point that we have a greater covenant than the Old Testament. And that covenant is through Jesus Christ, in which he is called, you know, the great shepherd of the sheep. All right. So it's a powerful thing. I mean, this is what's packed into here when you start meditating on it. It's a little overwhelming. It really is a little overwhelming. And so when we look at this, we see that Jesus is the mediator. So he's moved into this picture. Now, Jesus is the Messiah, is all through the Old Testament, but he's kind of in a shadow form. The Jews today are looking for the Messiah because it's shadowed. They didn't see it. But as Jesus comes in, he reveals himself that he is the Messiah. So he's completing all that, and that's what we know through the scriptures and through Jesus Christ. So what's interesting here, the use of shepherd and sheep is incredibly, incredibly descriptive. All right, we can read that, and you know, we just think, oh, that's cute, and you know, I always kind of joke around. You see Jesus sitting on a chair with a little lamb in his, and rubbing his head, you know, and the shepherd and the sheep, or child sitting on the other side, you know, and that really is not hitting the whole thing, just not hitting the whole thing. But you see it, what it says in the Old Testament, New Testament, is God's a shepherd, his people are the sheep, very descriptive. You know, why couldn't he say, you know, Jesus is the cowboy, okay, and you are the cattle, you know, wasn't like it. But he doesn't, because that description doesn't fit what God's trying to tell us. He's telling about a shepherd and a sheep, and right there is the center of the Old Testament, and we see it come out here in the New Testament. So it's very important that we pay attention to this. Now, just as a point of note is that sheep are one of the most vulnerable and defenseless of all God's creatures. They're just defenseless, okay? Vulnerable. They absolutely cannot survive the dangers of the wild. Now, I just a little footnote fun here. I have a little experience with sheep. I do. And not little lambs, you know, like that. We wouldn't have kept sheep close, you know. If they did, it'd be 24 hours and we'd cook them. So, I mean, it just wasn't that big a deal, all right? But we worked sheep and literally worked them on horseback, and there were hundreds of them. So hundreds of sheep. So so as a kid, we'd work and move these sheep and do things with them. And so I'm just a kid going along pen. And so it's, you know, 13 years old, I made an observation. I said, these are the dumbest animals I ever seen in my life. I mean, this is, you know, it's not fun to work them. It's not fun to do anything with them. You can't do anything with them. I mean, it was just a misery, you know, just a misery to deal with them. And as a 10-year-old, it's just dumb. I think that's why God chose that animal to reflect us. You know, you don't have a clue. And you couldn't just work them like other things because they didn't think the same way, you know. Maybe they didn't think. I don't know. It was really hard to work. And I remember this, and I didn't know what it meant. So you bring them up and put them in big pens, and so you load them up into a truck. And so you have a chute, you load up to a truck. Cattle work in it, great. So you have a big holding pen, you put all the sheep in, you have the chute. They wouldn't go in. They would not go in. I mean, they go every place but up that chute. And they just swirl around, you know. And so, well, how they would get them in the truck And I remember this word. I didn't know what it meant. They get a goat. They'd get a goat that's a raised up goat, okay, you know, that in the ranch or whatever, and they'd send that goat in there, and they put the goat in with those sheep, and they would run, and the goat would run up the chute and go into the truck, and all the sheep would follow him. That's the way you get him. You got a goat, and run it, and then all those sheep see that goat, and they're just going to follow. And then what they'd do, they would run into the truck. And we're talking about a 40-foot truck, big truck. They'd run into the truck, and that goat would go clear the back of the truck. And they'd fill that truck up, and they would just run into that truck and pack in there. You couldn't get your hand between. They just pack in. They like jumping over each other to get in that truck. They follow that goat in. And then the goat would jump up, and he would walk on the backs of the sheep and come out. That's what that goat did. Do you know what they called that goat? That goat had a name. You know what that goat's name was? Judas Goat. I had no idea. I'm just a kid. It's a Judas Goat. I didn't know. I just thought, they called it a Judas Goat. Isn't that amazing? It just stuck with me. So, to get sheep loaded, you just need a Judas goat to get them in there, you know, and they'll go. Lord, why did you say that about us? Lord, why did you pick that? See, we have a picture, and I think there's nothing wrong with it. You think, okay, shepherd and sheep, and he's got five sheep going around. He puts them in the pen, takes them out of the pen like that. That's pretty, but that's not how it worked. That's not how it worked. You know, it was a little more involved than that. So you have this picture of these sheep. You have a picture of this sheep. So as a result, also, they can't survive the wild. You turn them out in the wild, something will eat them, okay? I mean, they can't survive. They're just something. You have to watch them, and they have to have a shepherd. For the sheep to survive, they have to have a shepherd. They cannot survive by themselves in the wilds. And so what we have here, Jesus, identifying Jesus is the great shepherd, and that we are his sheep is very appropriate. Very appropriate. He's the great shepherd. Okay? And we're the sheep. Because we can't survive without the great shepherd. We can't. Can't survive without the great shepherd. You sheep can't survive without a shepherd. And so that's the picture here. So you see how it's appropriate when, and by the way, Israel at the time of Jesus and before, is the whole society was based on agriculture. It was agriculture. So they're very familiar with sheep and how they work in agriculture. That's the reason there's so many things about agriculture in the Bible and growing things. And so, because all of Israel was, in fact, their commodity in which they made all their money, even going way back, was agriculture. And they had traded for other things. You know, like Solomon had all these horses. Agriculture, he'd buy them. That's how it worked. Anyway, so just a little tidbit. So here we are. Jesus said he is the great shepherd of the sheep. Now, many times in the Old Testament, God is identified as the shepherd and the believers as his sheep. Okay? I mean, for instance, you see it all through Scripture, but look at Psalm 79:13. And again, I want to have you in the back of your mind, the sheep and the Judas goat. I mean, you got to kind of, you know. Here's Psalm 79:13. But we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever from generation to generation. We will proclaim your praise. You can praise the shepherd. and praise the shepherd, because they can't survive without the shepherd. Your people, the sheep of your pasture. Now, so what you have here is an understanding. And by the way, like we went through Hebrews, you know, well, the thing about Hebrews is understand. They understood the Old Testament. They knew the basis. So he's elaborating on the basis. They understood the relationship of shepherd and sheep. They understood. See, we don't. They did. They did. So you talk to them that way, and there was an understanding, you know, of what he was trying to say. And so you see this in the Old Testament. So what we have here in Psalm 79, these people understand who their shepherd is. See, when they say they understand, they know who their shepherd is, you know. And they live, where do these sheep live, okay? It tells you where they live. They're sheep. Where do they live? Read the thing. Read the verse. Where do the sheep live? I'm not going to tell you. Where do the sheep live? Whose pasture? God's pasture. See? He goes, you're the shepherd, and we live in your pasture. We live in your pasture. See? It's not like, hey, we just go whatever we want to, and this is happening, this happened, these people do this, that. No, we live in God's pasture. See? That makes us different. So God watches over us in his pasture. You know, this is just my analogy. So, like sometimes we'll just be disobedient. Just something like, God, I ain't going to do this. Just going to be disobedient. You just crawl over the fence and you go do it. Well, the analogy is you're not in this pasture anymore. God, why didn't you take care of me? You're not in my pasture. You didn't do what I said. You left the pasture. Now, let's don't get in losing your salvation. I'm not talking that. I'm just talking analogy about how it functions. How God sees us and how we function. We're in his pasture and he takes care of us, and he wants us to stay in his pasture so he can take care of us and he can tell us what to do. And because we're in his pasture, we will listen to him tell us what to do. And the world has a different pasture. Okay? And they're trying to tell us what to do. If we crawl over the fence and we get in their pasture, we get all confused. All confused. See, this is the reason why I use commentaries and study them, but I'm not really excited about commentaries. You know why? Because it's somebody else's pasture. Maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong, but somebody else's pasture. When I read the Bible, I know I'm in God's pasture. May not understand it, but I know I'm in his pasture. You see what I'm saying? But so there's a kind of a thinking, you can understand this. And, you know, God says, my ways are above your ways, you don't understand it. And you're going to somebody else to tell you what his ways are? They don't understand it either. Now, there's study, I reference, but what I'm saying, the focus has got to be on the Word of God. When you stand before God, he said, what did I tell you? And he said, well, I was reading this commentary, and he said this. He goes, that ain't my pastor. I might have told him that, but I didn't tell you that. See, no, God speaks to us, and we're accountable for what God tells us. Now, can you balance that out? I'm not throwing all the commentaries out the window, but I'm saying put them in their proper place. Okay. In the bottom drawer of your dresser. No, that was uncalled for. Totally uncalled for. Now, so what we see here, these people, what they're saying in Psalm 79, they understand who their shepherd is. Who their shepherd is. And they live in his path. They understand. See, what's important? They understand they live in his pasture. See, they know. They know they live in his pasture. So what you see here, they are so very thankful They're so very thankful for their very survival depends on the shepherd and his pasture. Praise God. Shepherd, sheep of his pasture. See, they're praising God. We're in his pasture. And who takes care of the people in God's pasture? God takes care of the people in his pasture. See, how many times do you worry about people in other people's pasture? You know? No, you're in God's pasture. And he'll take care of you. And he'll speak to you and protect you and take care of you. See, they knew because they understood sheep and they understood pasture, they understood difficulties. Their very survival depended on the shepherd and his pasture. And that's where they wanted to stay. Therefore, we as believers, the sheep of his pasture, declare something. Like, if you will, Psalm 95, 6 through 7. Because we understand the pasture. We're in the pasture with our shepherd. How many of us, you know, I just have this picture. I just make this stuff up, you know, so you know you can discard it, you know, totally. But it's like you have a, just say you have a fence and your pasture and your shepherd's telling you what to do. And we're hanging over the fence looking out down the road at somebody else's pasture. Well, why didn't you do what they did in their pasture? You don't want to know. You don't want to know. You don't know what's happening. You know, when we divide those sheep up, and like I said, there's hundreds of them. I don't know. And it's just a kid, but you put in, and you'd call out the young mothers and stuff, and you put them out there, and you'd call out, and, you know, sheep, and this is true of all animals, you know, and they, you know, and then you call out, a good ram goat, male goat, and you put them together, you know, and they're in this pasture, sometimes, and then you put the other goats here, and then you separate the other goats here, and then you put the other goats here, and you treat them, and a lot of these goats are the one that went in the truck and go to the slaughterhouse, and we're going, look, they get to ride in that truck. We're standing here in our pasture eating this stinking grass, you know, smoking it, and they get to ride in that fancy truck following that good-looking Judas goat. Why am I out here eating this dirt, you know? God, why? It doesn't make any sense. God, tell me why. He goes, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. You need to get your eyes on your pasture and your shepherd. Let me handle those others, you know. Now, so what we have here, we declare, look at Psalms 95, 6 through 7. Again, it's the same mindset. It's the mindset. God is trying to communicate the depth of understanding. Depth of understanding. And so, we communicate back when we understand it. The sheep communicate back. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He is our God. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep under his care. I don't care what's going on in everybody else's pasture. Okay, it's me and Jesus. It's me and Jesus. And there's, he is a shepherd, and the shepherd takes care of me. And in his pasture, he feeds me and directs me and protects me. Protects me. You read in the New Testament, now, you know, it says things, you understand this, and he talks about somebody sneaking in the gate by some other way. He said, well, don't mess those, they don't belong in his pasture. See, so the analogies, and you go, why would he use these analogies? They just seem like, you know, elementary, you know. And God goes, because you won't understand it if I tell you exactly what I'm thinking. But you can picture this, and you get your arms around this. And when you get your arms around this, I can reveal more to you. When you're solid in my pasture. When you're solid. See? So that's an incredible verse there. He is our God. And we're the people of his pasture. Why do you do that? Because he's my God. This is our pasture. Well, that's not very intellectual. Yeah, but it works real good. Yeah, it works pretty good. And God's really happy with it. He's really happy with it when I understand that. And we are the sheep under his care. That's what makes us. See, that's what makes Christians different. What makes Christians different is we are in his pasture under God's care. Now that is a theological depth. But that's it. Do you understand? We're in his pasture under his care. You don't have to worry about the wolves. The wolves. Do you know what it says about in the New Testament? It said the pastor had a big cane stake, you know, like he pushed things along. And it said when the wolf come, he runs him off with the cane. So we're, oh, the wolf is coming. No, if you're in your pastor under the shepherd runs the wolf off. See, the shepherd runs the wolf off. You don't have anything to worry about because the shepherd's going to smack the wolf upside the head and run him off. And the Bible tells you that. It tells you that's what's going on. And if you understand that elementary truth, you can have peace. The world is going to hell in the handbasket, all God's people say. Amen. But he says, you have peace. God, well, you don't understand the problem, God. You just must not understand the problem. He said, yeah, dude, just stay in my pasture. And I'll take care of that problem and you. Just stay in that pasture. All right? See, so this is the whole thing, what he's saying here. Now, so here is a great in-depth revelation, God speaking, thus saith the Lord. We have a shepherd, and we're the sheep of his pasture, the sheep under his care. There it is. There, I mean, you do whatever you want to. Read 45 commentaries. Do this. Do whatever you wanted to. But this is what it is. This is what it is. And what happens with Christians, they'll get off on some of these side notes, you know, and it's just confusing everybody else, and they don't have any peace because they can't understand it. And God said, I made it as simple as I could for you. I just made it so simple. You have a shepherd. Sheep of his pasture. You're the sheep under his care. Just stay in the pasture, trust the shepherd. Oh, okay. I mean, that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Now, and you see, this is how he's ending all the Hebrews. See, if I would have done this the first week, we could have skipped the other 13 chapters. Because all you got to do is trust the shepherd and stay in his pasture. But what he did in the first 13 chapters, he explained everything. Everything. So now we understand. Oh my God, now that you explained, what do you want us to do? He said, I want you to call me shepherd and stay in the pasture. Oh, okay. I mean, I could have done that without 13 chapters. But, you know, I would have been hanging over the fence wondering what all this stuff's doing. You see what I'm saying? It really is kind of simple. Faith here. So that's the revelation. Now, here's the other revelation. People, how many of you look around the world and go, why? Why? See, the world is blind to the lush pasture in which we live and the powerful shepherd that protects us. They don't know. They don't know. They don't know about the lush pasture. And they don't know about our shepherd. In fact, they may make fun of our lush pasture and our shepherd. Well, how can you believe that? You know, that's where, you know, he gave us a whole chapter on faith. This is interesting. What does that chapter on faith tell us? He says, stay in the pasture. Okay. They don't have any concept of being in the pasture. Therefore, they're working it out, trying to solve all the problems, and worried. People that are not in the pasture are worried. People that are not in the pasture have anxiety. People who are not in the pasture have depression. People who are not in the pasture just pulling their hair out. They don't know what's going on. See? And God says, no, the answer is just to stay in the pasture. Well, who's going to handle all those problems? The shepherd. The shepherd. The shepherd. So, therefore, again, what does a shepherd do? He protects us. Well, he doesn't understand this problem that's all happening in this pasture. Yeah, I do, but you're not in that pasture. You're with my pasture. Well, pay attention to me. I'll take care of that. You just listen to me. Let me take care of that other things. Therefore, as his witnesses, we declare to a dark world what we know. Now see, God calls the world dark. What is in dark? Can you see in the dark? No, they can't see. That's why they're in the dark. You know? And that's the reason we stand out like a sore thumb. Because we're in the light. See? It's like that. It really is fascinating. So we just say what we know. Now here, this is what we know. Everyone should memorize this verse. As I looked at it, I said, Wallace, you need to memorize this verse. You need to memorize. Because this is what we know as believers. When we finish 13 chapters of Hebrews, when we read the Bible, this is what we know. Look at Psalms 100, verse 3. This is what we know. And this is all we need to know. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us. And we are His. And we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Now relax. Now relax. Right here. I got this. But I'm just so frustrated. And you're frustrated because you don't believe He has it. It is. But I'm worried. You know, I've confessed. Worried. Okay? But I'm worried. You're worried because you don't believe He has it. I'm really concerned because you don't believe He can figure this out and can do what He's supposed to. But if your sheep in your pasture, no, we got plenty to eat. Everything's just fine. And we got a shepherd's taking care of us. Know that He is the Lord. I don't know if you remember in Hebrews 11:6, which is kind of an interesting verse. It really spoke to me. It says, know that the Lord is God. Well, gosh. Know that God exists. That's what it's, come on, that's 11 chapter of this huge book. Know that God exists. And there's another part of that. Know that God exists, and He rewards those who seek Him. Just stay in my pasture, trust the shepherd. I mean, you could have put that, Hebrews 11:6. Stay in the pasture, trust the shepherd. You'd have to know He is God, and He rewards those who seek Him. Like that. And if you crawl out and over the fence and looking at, I love picking on y'all's kids. You know what you do all the time raising your children? You're trying to keep them from crawling over the fence. Just stay in my pasture, you know. And they just, oh my God, you know, they won't crawl over. Why? Well, they want to see something that you already saw, and you don't want them to see what you saw. Stay in the pasture. I'm telling you, ain't that good out there? See? Yeah. You see? We know. So, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us. You're not an accident. And we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Why didn't He say, you know, the sheep of everybody's pasture. No, in his pasture. In his pasture. He's working with those in his pasture. We are so secure because we have a great shepherd and live safely in his pasture. Do you see the source of our problems? Do you see the source of our anxiety? If a great shepherd and I'm just in pasture, what could go wrong? I mean, and Israel understood this. They understood where the safe spot was. They knew exactly what God was saying when he was doing this. But he's making it so clear to us. Again, where does the security? Well, it's just blind faith. No, it's not. We met the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, and we're in his pasture. His pasture. We live in the safety of his pasture. And Jesus said he would never leave us or forsake us. Who did Jesus say that to? Those in his pasture. Those in his pasture. What about so-and-so who climbed over the fence and went downtown? He wasn't in the pasture. I mean, do what you want to, but you wasn't in the pasture. Now, so we see this vision here. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And then, now this comes too. Now, we're going to look here at what Jesus said about himself. And we're going to keep this in mind, what we talked about, the shepherd and the sheep. Now, I'm going to read what Jesus said about himself. Now, again, when Jesus said this, everybody there knew what he was talking about. Okay? Everybody knew what he was talking about when Jesus said this. Look at John 10:11. Jesus said, John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. What did Jesus do? This is why the Pharisees wanted to kill him. This is why they knew exactly what he said. They know, he wanted to be a shepherd, whatever, you know. No, they knew what he said. He was saying everything in the scripture about the shepherd is him. He goes, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Also in the New Testament, it's really funny. It talks about false shepherds. It says when the wolf comes, the shepherd runs. The false shepherd runs off. The good shepherd stay and fight for you. The false shepherd say, hey man, be warmed and filled. I'm out of here. See, he flees. When there's a problem, he flees. The false shepherd flees. The good shepherd stays and takes care of the sheep. So the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the picture of a good shepherd. And I'll lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus died to protect us. Jesus died to save us. Who? The sheep. Because we couldn't save ourselves. Totally vulnerable, totally helpless, no one to help. And he died to protect us. He died to save us because we couldn't do it on our own. Vulnerable, nothing. We have no ability to save ourselves. The one who died for us will not reject us. Oh, you died for me, but you know, I'm just everything else is screwed up. You know, everything else is falling apart. Can't fix that. Glad you died. I can't wait to get to heaven, be with you, and just tell you how you messed up everything. Oh, no, but I know I'm eternally secure in heaven. You know, and I wonder when I think like that, if I'm eternally secure in anything, you know, is what? No. If you're eternally secure, you believe that he is God, that he exists, and he rewards. Yeah, he'll reward. When I die, I'll go to heaven. One reward. That's it. That's not what he's saying. Never says that. See, so what he's trying to tell us, don't you understand? But God. He goes, that's outside your pasture. Don't do the but God. You just stay in your pasture, trust me, and I'll take care of the wolves and everything else. Keep your eyes on me, and I'll feed you and provide for you. The one who died for us will not reject us. The good and great shepherd not only protects, okay, the picture, I know, you got, I want everybody's head in this. You got the shepherd, he's taking care of you. You got this grass, this is a great place. You know, you think, well, I don't want to eat grass. Okay, let's just put, you got steak and eggs. If you're vegetarian, you can eat whatever you eat, fruits and vegetables or anything. But you got what you need. You know, you're in his pasture, and you got the shepherd, and he setting the table. You know, that it says that in Revelation, that we go in with him. He said he actually sets the table for us. See? Well, I don't like the dishes you used. That's us, by the way. I just want to throw that out. I mean, we'd find something to complain about. Absolutely find something to complain about. So, the good shepherd, not only where he protects us, he's a good shepherd. Oh, man, he's a good shepherd. All we want to eat, everything provided. We have everything. We have absolutely everything. Amen? Okay. The good and great shepherd not only protects and provides, but also teaches and empowers. He teaches and empowers. Okay? He said, yeah, I'm going to flex some muscles here. I'm going to teach you and prepare you. I'm going to teach you and prepare you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to empower you. Well, that's a good thing. I never thought about that. I just, you know, I just was good just being happy with Jesus and doing nothing. He goes, no, I'm going to equip you and equip, then I'm going to empower you to do what I equip you with. Now, as stated, verse where we started here, as stated in Hebrews 13:21, it says this, God will equip us with everything good for doing his will. Oh, the shepherd, he does that too. He will equip us with everything good for doing his will. And at the same time, he is also working in us to accomplish his purpose. I mean, how good a deal do we have here? What a good deal. Hey, come in, I'm the shepherd, in my pasture, I'll feed you, take it. You have nothing to worry about like that. And then I am going to equip you. I'm going to equip you so you'll know that I'm going to equip you. And then when I equip you, I'm going to work through you to do it. Process that. Process what God just said here. Shepherd, everything for you. Now I'm going to equip you, and now I'm going to empower you, and you're going to do it. The shepherd did that. The shepherd equips, the shepherd empowers. Not only fed us and protected us, he equipped us and empowered us. It's like, this is not a bad spot to be in. This is not a bad spot to be in at all. He is working in us to accomplish his purpose. He said, beginning of time, he's talking, we'll just say Gabriel. Gabriel didn't know anything. Gabriel, hey, I'm going to create this whole population right here, and I'm going to equip them with all the power of the universe. He said, well, who are these people? Well, it's the church. And Gabriel goes, I wouldn't do that. I mean, I know, you know, I've met some of these folks. You know, I don't know that's a good plan. You know what Jesus would say? You know I'm making this up, all right? You know what God would say? He said, no, that's not only a good plan, that's the only plan. There ain't no other plan. That's the only plan. Did you know that you are the only plan for aspirin? You're the only plan. Why doesn't God do something? He said, you know, I've been telling you for 6 months what to do. Well, I wasn't sure that was you. Now, you didn't want it to be me. All right? I mean, it's there. That's what the scripture is telling us. And in 13 there, it says, he equips and he empowers. I mean, he did both things. You know, it's like, well, how do you get equipped and empowered? Stay in the pasture and hear from the shepherd. Hear from the shepherd. And he will speak at you through the word. What you don't understand in the word, it's probably something you don't need to know now, and you need to focus on what you know, and he'll tell you these other things later on in your life. How many of you read the Bible 10 times, and one day you read through and says, oh my gosh, I never knew this. I never knew this. I do it all the time. You know, like that. And, I mean, if he wanted to say something, I didn't tell you before because you couldn't handle it. You wouldn't have done what I was supposed to. You'd got all confused, and I had to build you up to a certain point. Then you could receive it, and then you could do what I say. So that's the reason you keep reading it. The Bible's alive and living, and it speaks to you through the Holy Spirit. Did you know the Holy Spirit interprets the Bible? The Holy Spirit does not interpret commentaries. Just telling you. Doesn't. Now, it may have interpreted for the guy who wrote it, and hallelujah. I hope his walk with Jesus is good. But it's secondhand information. All I'm saying is keep secondhand, keep primary. The Bible is center for all things, and he will speak to you. I was just one evangelist saying, I can't remember his name, but he said, give me the Bible and lock me up in a cave, speaking to nobody for 20 years. And at the end of 20 years, I'll come out and tell you what the world has done. See? All you need is the Bible. You will know. Well, you wouldn't believe what they did. Oh, yeah, I do. Oh, yeah, I do. Oh, yeah, I do. I would believe. I would believe. See, we would know. And we could handle the situation that comes at us because we would know. Because the Scripture breathed out Word of God, interpreted by the Holy Spirit. It's powerful. It's powerful. Again, I read commentaries and I like some outside information. But I just look at it as plan B and it's outside information. It's what God told them. I'll determine if that's, you know, God, are you speaking to me based on what your Scripture says. Based on what your Scripture says. And I just as a footnote, if I read something in a commentary and they deny the Word of God and say it's not the Word of God, I'll never read it again. I'll never pick it up. I'll never buy a book. I'll never pick it up. That's all they got to do to disqualify themselves. They say, I don't believe God said that. Who asked you? So here we go here. So God is going to equip us. God is going to equip us. Okay, and then God's going to work through us through the Holy Spirit. Now, the Apostle Paul says the same thing, and it's fascinating, and we don't have time to go through the whole thing, but again, it's fascinating when he says the whole thing about him working in us. He equips us to work in us. Look at Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13. He says this, while you're in the pasture, oh, I just said that. But anyway, while you're in the pasture, Philippians 2:13. While you're in the pasture, it is God who works in you. Son of a gun. He provides in God. It is God who works in you, both to will and to work. Now, that will can really be, this is really, you see my parentheses there? That's definitely my parentheses. Those are uninspired parentheses, right? But they're mine. God who works in you both to will. God gives you the will. God gives you the desire. Oh, I wish he had the desire. Problem is, not making a connection with God, because if it's making a connection with God, God would give you the desire. See, so what you have here, it's God who works in you both to will, give you desire, and to work. He gives you the desire, and then to work, the work. He gives you the desire and the work. He does the whole thing. You know, it's just like we've got to show up, stay in the pasture, and God does what he wants to do. Really simple. And the work we do, when God gives us the will, and the work we do, it's for his good pleasure. He's happy. Now, who else you want to be happy? See, we're depressed because everybody else ain't happy. But he says, just make me happy. You know? Just make me happy. Because I give you the desire and the work. And it's for good pleasure and it makes me happy. When you do what I tell you, I'm happy. I'm happy. See, that's the reason we're unhappy with everybody else. They're not doing what we tell them. Are they? Not that you'd ever. I mean, it's just your children. They can't pick your children. They make you unhappy when they don't do what you tell them. Don't they? Why are you hollering at me? Oh. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's just amazing. It's amazing. All right. Read it one more. It is God who works in you both to will and give you the desire and to work for his good pleasure. Now listen to this sentence. Listen, this is truth. Okay, this is truth. Listen to this sentence. With God equipping us and working through us, we transcend the limitations of the world. Oh, I'm so depressed. Because you're under the world. You're under something else. I'm worried. Shepherd, take care of it. You don't know who I am. That's the reason you have anxiety. You don't know who I am. See, we know who he is. We know, and we're in his pasture. And with God, in his pasture, with God equipping us and working through us, we transcend the limitations of the world. We're not under the world, we're over the world. Okay, God, what are you doing? All right, I'm going to follow you here. All right, you got something? Okay. See, and that's the truth. And that's the truth. And a full understanding of Hebrews, we'd hold on to that. We'd hold on to that. I said, God, I don't want to read a whole 13 chapters. Okay, then try this one. I'm the shepherd, and you're the sheep, and I want you to live in the pasture. Okay, that's better than 13 chapters of Hebrews. All God's people. So, with Jesus as our great shepherd, we live in God's kingdom under God's protection and direction. Therefore, Psalms 23 is our world. This is our world. You want to hear our world? This is our world. If we, okay, now I'm saying, trust the shepherd. So now, again, I'm a driver. I'm speaking to myself. You know, I try to be transparent about my weakness. You know, we make an appointment. Oh, I trust God. Well, gosh, I don't know how we're going to make the bills this month. You don't trust God. Okay. So don't fake yourself out. Don't fake yourself out. I'm depressed. Don't fake yourself out. You don't trust God. I have okay, fine. Don't fake yourself out. You don't trust God. I mean, just work on it. You don't have to tell me about it. Nobody knows. Okay. I'm not going to tell you about my anxiety, so you'll never know. But my anxieties prove I don't trust God. You see what I'm saying? So, the thing is, believe God is God. Trust him, he rewards those that seek him. Okay? You believe. I believe it 110%. Then we're going to live Psalms 23. This is who Psalms 23 is written to, with that mindset. This mindset. This is the mindset. All right? Psalms, there's no overhead, but a lot of you probably know it by heart, but I'm going to read it. No overhead. I'm going to read it slowly. Psalms 23, 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, his pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. It's all about him. For his name's sake, he guides me along the right path. For his name's sake, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All God's people said, amen. Amen. All this is through the great shepherd, Jesus. Now, again, we transcend the limitations of the world. We'll just close it with this. This is what Peter said in Revelation. A good Jewish boy Peter was. And Peter said to them all, Acts 2:38, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will be in the shepherd's pasture. The rest of the Bible, New Testament, say, just stay there. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the book of Hebrews. We thank you for what you had to say, Lord. And it's so, you want so much for us. You've done so much for us. And you want us just to trust you. Just to rest and trust you. To follow you. God, and I just pray, and my prayer for each and every person, myself too, that you would just touch us in a special way to have insight into who you are, and that, Lord, to just stir in us to be able to visibly see the things working, and just to be an encouragement to us in a special way. And thank you for just as humans giving us the physical of a shepherd and a pasture and sheep, so we can see the dynamic of the Almighty God. The dynamic of the Almighty God. And so, Lord, as sheep of your pasture, we praise you. We praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.